Hello, and welcome to episode 31 of Flowering of the Human Spirit. I'm Claire Stewart, and I'm recording this daily podcast every day of the month of August about Edinburgh in the year 2020 with no festivals. And that means, yes, that's right, that today is the last episode. And I had thought, I'd put a lot of thought into what I should talk about in the last episode, and ultimately I thought that the thing to do on this last day of August would be to just do a little state of the nation's state of affairs podcast about some of the things that are today that are in the news, that what's happening, where we're at, when we're saying goodbye to August 2020. The weirdest August in living memory for most of us in Edinburgh, and certainly one that will not be forgotten by people who lived here as being the year when, wow, Edinburgh didn't just disappear like Brigadoon when there was no festivals. It stayed standing. And the walls did not crumble around our ears. So we can exist without the festivals. That, you know, it's worth thinking about for all of us for a variety of reasons. And in this series, you know, I've covered a lot of different ground, really, and spoken to some really interesting people. Unfortunately, a couple of the people that I really wanted to get on as guests, I wasn't able to make an arrangement with, and that's just like life, isn't it? It's just blimmin' life. And if I'd been recording this podcast weekly or monthly, then that would have been just like fortnightly, whatever, something sensible like that, then it would have been a lot more eminently, you know, possible to have guests and organize it. But just because of the necessity of, you know, having committed to doing this every day, and then even on top of that having some unavoidable technical issues, the podcast has not had those guests on, and quite frankly those people deserve to be heard. They've got great views, and I wish that I could extend this somehow, but I think that would be silly, let's face it. And also I committed to doing this every day in August, and that's what I'm gonna do. But as for the state of affairs right now, well, the first thing to note today, Monday the 31st of August, is that there have been reports of increases in cases of COVID-19 in Scotland for the first time since, well, they've been decreasing, and then, you know, there've been an odd case here and there, but there's been a significant increase in new cases of COVID-19. So 160 new cases have been reported, and at the beginning of this month we were in a very different position, weren't we? Very, very low numbers in the whole of Scotland. I couldn't give you an official number right now. That's not something that's particularly easy to find in the data, but it was close to zero when this month began. And yeah, 160 new cases, where did they come from? I mean, there's, you know, certainly speculation that some of them at least must have come from people coming into Scotland, because we'd almost eradicated it, and then to have 160 new cases, there's got to be, well, more than one source, if not one very, 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 very active source. So that's not good news. That's very worrying, really. And in the context of what's been happening overall, we've wanted to see the back of coronavirus, and there's been, you know, it's been reported as being a 3-month high now. We've also had the schools have gone back and we've seen lots of news about the schools now, schools reopening and restrictions. Now high school kids in Scotland, the latest news today has been that they are going to have to be wearing face coverings in corridors and in certain places where they're together, which would just seem to make sense, but there you go. That's the new case. On Twitter today, interestingly, I saw Scottish Labour, the Labour leader Richard Leonard was at Edinburgh Arts venue Summer Hall. They're recording a little campaign video with some people and talking about how they're basically talking to people in the arts about what the impact is on, you know, and what the impact is on them and what the impact is going to be on the wider economy and on jobs in Scotland. And I thought that was really interesting because I have to say that I never ever see any political parties on a campaign beat talking to people in the arts as a port of call for, you know, something that they're concerned about. So that's quite a novelty and an interesting development to see that that's the actual Labour leader as well, Richard Leonard, who's going and doing that, and then they're making a video and putting it out on Twitter and promoting it, paying to promote it. So Labour are apparently actively, you know, seeking out these stories and listening to what people have to say. They've called it a listening exercise in the video. If you look up Scottish Labour on Twitter, then you'll be able to find that video, I'm sure. Elsewhere on the internet, I've seen in Edinburgh there has been a Free Hong Kong, We Stand With Hong Kong protest in Edinburgh. People standing with the Hong Kong protesters who have been in struggles against, you know, like the clampdowns on their freedoms. And yeah, that's been happening in Edinburgh this week. A little show of solidarity. I don't want to be patronising by calling it little, but it doesn't look like there's hundreds of people there. There's also been an announcement that there's going to be a sort of Scotland against lockdown protest in Edinburgh next weekend, the first weekend of September. And we've seen similar protests in England in the last week in the news, with people, you know, going out to protest. But with, you know, this is just my personal opinion, of course, but they seem to have a lot of very mixed messages going on with their signs and seem to be quite sort of just generally anti-trust, protesting against everything. But fine, that's their right to protest, I suppose. But they, you know, the idea that there's people out there, anti-maskers, as they call, some of them call themselves, who just don't believe that we should be, you know, apparently drinking the COVID-19 Kool-Aid that we're being fed by the government because there's something nefarious going on, or lockdown, we shouldn't be having lockdown now because it's an infringement on our personal freedoms or whatever else. And anyway, so there's going to be one in Edinburgh. Scotland says no to lockdown rally and a march on Holyrood on next Saturday. And yeah, so sign of the times there. And apparently there's going to be a international virologist, Professor Dolores Cahill, speaking at it. Interesting. Wonder what she's going to have to say. I've also seen online Richard Herring posting saying made it to Edinburgh after all, with a picture of a castle in the background. I have been reminded this month that how much I love Richard Herring and also Stuart Lee. I used to listen to them on the late night radio shows when I was 12 or 13, like way too young to be listening to the absolute filth that they were spouting at that time, but it was very funny and just had probably a massive influence on me for the whole rest of my life when it comes to, you know, irreverent humour about things that matter, and the way that that can actually, satire can actually be a force for good. But anyway, Richard Herring, apparently in Edinburgh, it's not Edinburgh Castle in the background, but it's a different old building, I don't know where. And then I saw, there's a photo that somebody's posted of a particular little charming street in the new town, and this account, which is Magical Places, and it's a Twitter account linked to an Instagram, so the Instagram account has posted it, and it's titled Edinburgh, England, with a little heart emoji, and yeah, Edinburgh, England, there we go. An interesting thing that I've noticed is that Visit Scotland have got all kinds of tweets about coming to Scotland and why people should be still coming here and, you know, visiting here as well as staying safe, but also coming here, most importantly, come here. Somebody stuck a little label on a nearby shop in my neighbourhood that said, "Just wandering the city is entertainment," which is a good point indeed. It's certainly a city that you can wander in quite endlessly and never really get bored. Somebody on Twitter, Simon Record, posted a photo of a train, 27012 at Haymarket on the 9th of September 1982 at Haymarket Station, and let me tell you, this photo of a train at a platform at Haymarket Station in 1982, it looks the same now. It looks almost exactly the same. And Haymarket Station has had a big overhaul, so there's a bit of a sort of glass box that is there now that wasn't there in this photo, but otherwise, completely identical. So there you go, 38 years ago, and Haymarket has not changed, and the surroundings and the backdrop of Haymarket is just exactly the same. An Edinburgh resident has posted a photo of their local wildflower meadow at Castorfin Old Parish Church, saying that how beautiful it looks, and it does, it looks beautiful. A wildflower meadow in full bloom. Apparently, according to Balanced Edinburgh, since lockdown, they have seen an increase in the number of patients with rotator cuff tendinopathy, which is a reminder for all of us that we should be minding our postures when we're working from home. So just remember, folks, whatever you're doing, make sure you're sitting in a comfy chair with the correct posture, because you do not want to have surgery for rotator cuff tendinopathy, apparently. The Edinburgh Cat and Dog Home has sadly had to close down because its kennelling service, which normally is a big part of its operations to look after people's pets while they are away on holiday and so on, has just not been being used. So that's a shame, and there's, you know, apparently that's going to just affect their whole operation so much that they've had to close down. So if you're thinking about adopting a pet in the Edinburgh area and you can commit to looking after it, then please do consider doing it, because more than ever there's going to be pets needing adoption. We're seeing lots of things closing. Popular Edinburgh venue, the Jam House, has closed permanently, which is a shame. Another music venue gone. Also, I found out today that my favourite restaurant, The Apartment, has closed, and that's really sad for me, because I don't, you know, I couldn't count how many great times that I've had in that restaurant in the whole whole time that I've lived here, I've been going there, and now it's not going to open again. There was also news yesterday that Montpellier's, which is a bar up in Brunsfield, on the far southwest corner of the Meadows and Brunsfield Links, has closed after staff members tested positive for COVID-19. And yeah, stories like that that like remind you that actually it's right on our doorsteps, really. It's just, you know, we still don't know where the next case could be and where it could come from. And that was one of the places when things started to open up again in Edinburgh, I was astonished by how quickly that place was open again, and there was a lot of people going there. It's a shame that that's had to happen, and it's a shame that it's a staff member who's contracted it. It's a shame for anyone, but I mean, imagine that you're working in a bar, and then you know the whole place has to shut down because you've caught COVID-19. Must be awful. The story has resurfaced about one in 477. Well, it was the story was reported as almost 500 short-term rental properties. Only one of them had the proper planning permission. And I mentioned it in a previous episode, and that was actually as a result of a report spearheaded by Scottish Green MSP Andy Whiteman, who does great work. I've mentioned him before too. In holding the forces of the property market and property owners and land rights related flouters to account. He is doing great work for people and, you know, making the case for public land and common good land to be protected. So this story has resurfaced that, you know, there's 477 properties were identified by Andy in the city of Edinburgh being let on a commercial basis, only one having planning permission to be used as a short-term let. And apparently there's a report that's going before the council investigating most of the properties highlighted by the survey would delay other enforcement action. So yeah, it's been taken up by a Green councillor, Chas Booth. Apparently the Scottish Greens said the local authority are not doing anything to tackle unlawful holiday flats. And yeah, just in the context of the growth of Airbnb and Airbnb style short-term lets in Edinburgh, the council has apparently said enforcement action against these kinds of properties is very resource intensive. So basically it's costing the council money to regulate, so much money to regulate these things that it can't afford to do it, I guess is what they're saying, or it can't afford to do it efficiently. So apparently they're prioritising ones where people have actually complained to them. So I guess the message there is, Edinburgh, that the council are telling us, if you don't complain about the short-term lets causing a problem in your area, then they won't do anything about it. So complain. If you've got Airbnbs in your area, or that, you know, that you're concerned about in your neighbourhood, or lockboxes, as somebody, this was another thing I saw today, somebody was really annoyed about the lockboxes that have been put on the entrance to their close. They're not actually for that property. Somebody's just padlocked them onto the entrance, and they've put up a handwritten notice saying that they're going to be taken down this week. If somebody doesn't take them away, then they'll be gone. They'll be removed. So yeah, there you go. You know, complain if this is your chance. The council will apparently prioritise you. And there's a BBC News piece, "What Was Edinburgh's Royal Mile Like Without the Festivals?" That came out today by Angie Brown, BBC Scotland Edinburgh and East reporter. And basically, that was quite interesting, talking about how it's normally so busy that the buskers have to be given time slots. The piece is mainly interviews with street performers and people interviewed saying things like, "Oh, having less people is better for my show because I can interact with people more easily and make more jokes," or, you know, "It's there's less people so they're slower to come together and you have to have more material, you know, to sort of spin it out with. Somebody from Glynis Hammond from Watford in Hertfordshire had said she was shocked and happy at how many people there were on the Royal Mile. She said, "I expected it to be so quiet, but to see so many tourists, so many people here is just great." Glynis said they should have been on holiday in Ghana, but had come to Edinburgh instead. And she and her daughter, Nia, had visited the castle and had caricatures done by a street artist in the Royal Mile. "It is our first time in Scotland and it makes me want to come back," she said. "I've been thinking of talking my husband into the Scottish Highlands for Christmas now that I've seen how great it is here." And that's nice. And that, you know, overall gives you like a, you know, a nice positive feeling about people enjoying our city, but, you know, also a little bit of mixed feelings when we're seeing in the news that people are, you know, that's the tension there. People are, there's more cases of coronavirus and the extremely serious consequences for people catching coronavirus. And as we know, we don't, you know, but we, you know, when you see some of the individual circumstances, such as there was an elderly man who was moved out of hospital into a care home against the wishes of his family and contracted coronavirus in there when they were having a problem with coronavirus apparently at the time, and they're now going to be suing the government, I believe. Don't quote me because I'm not a journalist and I'm not even reading this straight from a piece. This is from memory, from having read this earlier. They're suing somebody because this beloved elderly family member had died after a dodgy decision to move him into a care home where the infection was. So we're not free of it. We're not out of it yet. You know, we're not. We can't be taking for granted the need to be careful. In fact, we should be being more careful. And arguably, in the face of people going out to protest that lockdown should be over. Strange times. The strange times continue. But lots of people commenting. Businesses on the Royal Mile about their wanting the festivals to come back and how quiet it is this year. It has been surprising to see tourists returning. There have been more of them than I would have expected perhaps by this point, but there you are. There are a lot of heated views going on about Scottish independence and a Scottish independence referendum, and personally I'm being served by the Google algorithm a lot of right-wing clickbait articles on a daily basis, showing me terrifying looking photos of Nicola Sturgeon looking not at all the way that she actually looks in real life. Mostly looking quite fearsome and white-lipped with fury, and usually with headlines like, you know, Nicola Sturgeon is out to wreck the United Kingdom with, you know, power grab to hand power back to Europe, and just like total nonsense that nobody would believe and nobody in their right mind would pay any attention to. And I'm clearly, you know, being courted for clicks on clickbait articles that I'm just never going to click on, and I can't really get my head around it, but there you go. Somebody's promoting these things to me. What a waste of time and money. And you know, we're in an uncertain situation right now with everything related to lockdown and the virus, and we don't know if the festivals will be going ahead in 2021 or not. So in that context of uncertainty, who knows what possible changes we'll see in the next year, and whether it may be even longer before the festivals are able to take place again. I saw a news item at the weekend about the Edinburgh International Festival apparently going to be building stages in the playgrounds of primary schools so that they can have theatre in their playgrounds and as part of their learning activities in their school curriculums. And yeah, it seems like a positive plan. The only thing that I would say is, are the Edinburgh International Festival going to be programming any of it? Because if they are, I think they'll find that they won't meet with the primary school's own inclusion and diversity policies, which are a hell of a lot more robust, well-founded and strict than probably their own are. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, as my dad would say. Listening, and if you have been enjoying these podcasts and listening to these podcasts, or maybe you haven't been enjoying them, maybe you've been hate listening to the whole thing, getting really irritated by how often I say the words maybe, you know, maybe you're just really irritated by the whole podcast series, and to you it's just taken the place of the festivals in your life throughout this month. Let me know. I want to hear from everybody about how they found it and what thoughts they have. And there's no more podcasts now, so there's no danger that I might share any of your thoughts on the podcast. The other thing to notice is that if you haven't listened to all the episodes, and or you know anybody who you think might want to listen, just to give you fair warning, I will be taking the podcasts offline. Probably in the next week, in the next 7 days. So if you want to listen again or share them with anybody, then that's it. You have a window, and then I'll be taking them down. And that's because I never intended to make a podcast series for every day of the month of August and then leave it up in perpetuity. It's just a thing that exists in time and space, and it has its time and it has its space and it has its place, and that's what's going to happen. And thank you so much if you've been listening. Please get in touch. There's a number of ways to get in touch. One of them is you can leave me a message using the Anchor FM message button, or you can tweet me. I am Claire on Toast on Twitter, or Flowering Of is the Twitter account for the podcast. And yeah, you can get in touch in those ways, and it would be lovely to hear from you. I've been hearing from lots of people, and it's been really nice to hear people's views and feedback, and yeah, see people listening from all over the place. So it's been lovely to have an international community that's sort of come around this podcast, and like a little festival. And yeah, I will be, you know, when this festival month with no festivals is over, the one thing that it will have in common with other festival years for me is I'll be breathing a little sigh of relief not to be recording a podcast every single day. That's not because I haven't enjoyed it like the festivals. It's not because I haven't had some good times and because I haven't enjoyed the process. I really have, but it'll be nice when things go back to normal again. So I just want to say thank you for listening and joining me on this journey. Thanks to everybody who's been along for the ride. And thanks to the people who've written in and sent me messages and emails, and especially to Rosie Aspinall Priest, who was on a previous episode, and Sandy Thompson, who shared a story of fringe community against adversity right at the beginning of the series. And thanks to everybody who considered being guests too, but we weren't able to make that happen this year. Who knows, maybe in the future there's a chance to air your thoughts and views, and more of you get involved. Thanks to Peggy Hughes for that impromptu episode that we recorded. And I definitely have missed all of our festival adventures together this year. Normally, God, the things that we get up to. And I have to say, for me, right now, the state of the nation in Claire's world is I really miss my local pub, and I miss seeing the people that I see on a regular basis around Edinburgh. Things have changed and shifted, and they haven't anywhere near gone back to normal. And yeah, I miss the festivals, but it was nice to have a little break, you know. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, perhaps, to borrow a line from a certain play. And on that theatrical note, I think that's appropriate to end the series with. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Does absence make the heart grow fonder? Thanks for listening, and cheerio.